And we'll go ahead and pray and... What? There's no mic? Is that better? All right. And we'll go ahead and pray and we'll get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your words. And we thank you, Lord, for sending them here, Lord. I mean, your words are your words, but if you didn't send them here in a book, Lord, we'd probably forget them. And we thank you, Lord, for getting them written down so we can have a copy. And anytime we have a memory mishaps where we forget, Lord, we can go and look it up. And we very much appreciate that. Now, Father, we pray now that our ears and our eyes would be open to your words this morning and that we would be attentive to them. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right. So, we left off in verse 16. Verse 15, he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 16, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows." Now, Jesus is going to have a little fun with these Jewish people here, all right? And in these next few verses. And here he's talking about a generation, folks, that's rejecting him, all right? And so these people are in the marketplace buying and selling, all right? And they're back in those days, I guess there's these marketplaces, that's where they went to get their food. And that's where they went to sell their food, anything that they had extra. They would take it to the marketplace, buy and sell. Well, we got marketplaces here today. It's called the stock market, right? People buy and sell in the stock market. And not only that, but they buy and sell corn, they buy and sell different types of grains, and that's how, you know, that's how people make a living here. They buy and sell. And that's basically what it is. Hey, when we have a job we go to, we are selling ourselves, we're selling our labor, we're selling our talents to other people, and in turn they're paying us in return, and they're getting a product in return, right? And so it's a constant buying and selling. That's just how this world is set up. And Jesus is likening these people here. He's likening them unto children. They're like the stock market. One day they like the stock. One day they don't like it. One day they like this product. The next day they hate this product and they like this product, right? And that's just how the markets are. They're inconsistent. They're inconsistent. And children, they like one thing one day. They like one little army toy one day, right? And then the next day they like Superman doll. Or farm equipment stuff. I mean, they're very inconsistent. They like one thing one day and they like another thing the next. They're unstable, folks. Unstable. Children are very unstable, right? They don't know any better. Their circle of knowledge is like that, right? They haven't learned yet to slow down. They haven't learned yet, hey, you need to think about these things. And that's just how children are. And when you grow up, when a child grows up, they'll become stable in their thinking. And Jesus is telling these guys, hey, you're a bunch of kids, right? You don't know what you want. You don't know what you want. And they're like children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, verse 17, "We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented." And this is what they're saying. Hey, they're saying, John, Jesus. That's who they're talking about here. They say, you don't dance to our tune, right? And you don't do the things that the way we want you to do them. You don't look at them the way we want you to look at them. And look in Matthew 14. Matthew 14. 14 verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." Verse 3. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother's Philip's wife. For John said unto him, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Were the rulers of Israel preaching at Herod when he's doing these things? Right? You have John the Baptist preaching at him, but where are the rulers of Israel? They're not preaching things that are right under that Herod. They're under their rule, but I mean, they're not preaching anything about him, about what he's doing, and why weren't they preaching? Because they were okay with that type of activity, right? And John wouldn't dance that tune, folks, and that's why John was preaching at Herod. He was preaching at Herod because he wouldn't dance to that tune. How about Jesus when all the Jews were mourning? Look with me, if you would, in Matthew 9. Matthew 9, verse 23. We'll start in verse 20 so you get the whole story here. "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him, and when he saw her, he said, 'Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house," he's on his way to this ruler's house to heal the daughter, right? "And saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, 'Give place, for the maid is not dead.'" Right? What are they doing? He saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. Those are the professional mourners. Those are the mourners there. "He said to them, 'Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth.'" And all of a sudden, can you imagine these people crying, tears running down their face, and all of a sudden, the tears are gone, and they start laughing at Jesus. Right? They're professional mourners. And Jesus wouldn't mourn with them. He wouldn't mourn with them. He had other plans there that day. "He said unto them, 'Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth.' And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in." Jesus wouldn't play their game. He didn't want anything to do with what the Jews were doing there. He had a different agenda. And instead, he kicked all the mourners out. And they made fun of Jesus. They made fun of him because they made fun of him. And see, folks, John and Jesus, they wouldn't submit to what those little children, right, that Jesus referred this generation to. They wouldn't submit to those children that they were sitting in the marketplace wanted them to submit to, right? John and Jesus expected the children to submit to their message, not them submit to the children's message. That doesn't make any sense. So go with me, if you would, back in Matthew. Matthew 11, verse 18. And the Bible says here, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil." Right? John wouldn't socialize with the people. When they wanted John to quit living like a heathen, right? John, they thought John was living like a heathen. He was an outcast. He wouldn't socialize with anybody. And so they thought he was devil-possessed, right? They thought he was a devil-possessed person. And why? Because they wanted John to be like one of them. And John wasn't like one of them. John didn't like the things that they liked. John didn't put up with the things that they put up with. John didn't accept the things that they accepted. And they wanted John as a preacher, but they wanted him to cool it. Right? They wanted him to preach a little softer. They wanted him to preach smooth things unto them. And John wouldn't go about it. He wouldn't go along with that game. And when he wouldn't submit, they said he had a devil. And look at the maniac of Gadara. He was out by himself, walking amongst the tombs. Right? And so they thought John had a devil. Verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. Here's John, not eating and drinking with the sinners. Now here comes the Son of Man. Here comes Jesus, eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous. See the inconsistencies here, folks? A man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified over children. So God sends them a guy one way, and they said he's possessed. Then God sends Jesus, and Jesus sits and eats with them, and they reject him too, right? That's a child, folks. They're inconsistent. They don't know what they want. And that's how children are. They're unstable, they're inconsistent, and they don't like anything that they don't want, and that's why children have to be guided. All right? They have to be guided and directed. Why? Because they're not capable of making sound decisions. And it's as simple as that. And it's about anything. They're not capable of making sound decisions about anything. And that's why they have to be guided. All the way up. Right? Who? And now, folks, when you have a child telling their parents what they want to do, and their parents listening to their children, when you have a child telling their parents, hey, I don't like that, I want to do this, and their parents listening, hey, that child is headed for a destructive path, all right? And so when that child is growing up, they need to be told, hey, this is the way you're going to go, I'm not going to accept any other way. You're going to go to math class. You're going to go to English class. You're going to take this course. You're going to take that course. Right? If you do poorly in it, there are ways that are going to help you to do better. Right? Grounding, whatever it is. Taking away the things that they like. But there's a way to get a child to do better in school and to strive better in school. It's not the child's position in life to tell the parents what they want to learn. It's the parents' decision to tell the child what they want to learn. And that's how these Jews were. Jesus and John are bringing them a message, and they said, we don't want that message. We want this message. And Jesus and John says, you're not getting it. We're not going to submit to that. It's going to be this way. And those children, they didn't want it. They rejected them. And so John and Jesus' ministries, they're the opposite, but their message is the same, folks. Their ministries are exact opposite, right? And both of their messages are rejected. And Jesus says to those Jews, you piped to John asking him to play your game and he wouldn't do it, and you rejected him, right? Then I came along and wanted you to play. You wanted me to play your game, and I wouldn't, and you rejected me too. And that's where they're at. Where's my Affleck duck, folks? The issue is not the preacher. The Jew was commanded. He was commanded to repent. He was commanded to repent in Malachi. He was commanded to repent by John the Baptist, and he was commanded to, and they were commanded to repent by Jesus, and they said to John, he was mean. That's what they said about John. He was mean. He was unfriendly, and Jesus comes and Jesus is friendly, and so the issue is they don't want to repent, folks, because Jesus gave them what they wanted, and then they didn't want that. And so the issue isn't that the issue is their hearts are wrong. Their issue is they don't want to repent. And so it doesn't matter what Jesus, what God sends their way, they're going to reject anything he sends because their hearts are wrong. And so the Bible says here, but wisdom is justifieth of her children. Wisdom personified, we know that's Jesus Christ. And if you go to Proverbs 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you'll read about this wisdom. And so who are the children? Who are the children that are justified by the wisdom? Right? Wisdom is justified of her children. Who are those children? Okay? So you've got publicans. Those are the children that are going to listen to the wisdom. You've got sinners. Those are the children that are listening to the wisdom, right? You've got the poor. Those are the children that are listening to wisdom. But who's not listening to the wisdom? Who's not listening to it? You've got the Pharisees. They don't want anything to do with the wisdom. You got the Sadducees. They don't want anything to do with it. And you got the rich, right? They don't want anything to do with that wisdom. And so somebody that doesn't want the truth, folks, they'll complain no matter who is up in the pulpit preaching. It doesn't matter, right? That's why you have people going from this church to this church to this church to this church. They don't want the truth. All right? And it doesn't matter who's up here preaching. It doesn't matter what tone of voice they have. It doesn't matter what the message is. If it's the truth, they're going to leave. Right? Because the truth hurts. Truth cuts. Doesn't matter how your tone of voice is. Doesn't matter if there's a yeller or a guy that's talking real softly. It's the message. And the message is the truth. And they don't want to hear it. Move to the next church. And that's just how that is, folks. People's hearts have to get right. And the issue is their heart. And if they want the truth, then Jesus will he'll show them the truth. But if they don't want the truth, and they're not going to get it. And so some of the words that Jesus uses in Matthew, Mark, and Luke are to describe this generation. They're evil. They're adulterous. They're faithless, and they're perverse. And those are some of the words that he uses to describe this generation. Verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. You see the issue? They don't want to listen to the message. They don't want to repent. That's the issue. He lets them have it here. And he says, folks, judgment is upon you. This is what he's telling them. Verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you hath been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Now, how could he prove what he's saying here, folks? And if you go to the book of Jonah, you'll read about Jonah and look at what he did with Nineveh, right? Here's a guy that didn't want to go, that tried to run away from God because he didn't like the Gentiles at Nineveh. He's a Jewish man. And so he doesn't want to go there and preach, because he knows that if he goes there and preach, those people are going to repent, right? What mighty work did Jonah do? He didn't do any. What did he do? He just went there and preached a message. And so he didn't even want to go there. And Jesus is saying to these people, hey, you have signs, you have wonders, you have all these miracles, and you still won't repent. You still won't repent. And he can show them Jonah and say, these people repented over just a message. You guys have all this, and you got me healing the dead, raising the dead, healing the sick, healing the maimed, healing leprosy, and they won't repent. Verse 22, but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Why? Because the truth was here, standing right here among you. And that truth had the proof to back it up. He had the signs, he had the wonders. What Jesus is saying here is, you rejected, it's going to be worse for you in the day of judgment than it is for these people here at Tyre and Sidon. Matthew 23:14. Let's look at that. Matthew 23:14. Which shows you there is a damnation that's greater. Bible says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation. These Pharisees, these Sadducees, they had Jesus walking there right on the earth, doing all these miracles. And they had the scriptures, folks. They knew what to do. They knew how to handle these situations here. And to much is given, much is required. And Jesus says here, you're going to receive the greater damnation. Greater than what? What could be greater than hell and the lake of fire? I don't know how that works. It's almost like when Jesus throws hell into the lake of fire, it's almost like hell is in the lake of fire, but it's like its own little dimension. I don't know. But if hell gets burned up in the lake of fire, everybody's burning at the same heat, right? If they're receiving a greater damnation, there's got to be some way that they do this. And I can't explain it, folks. I don't know what it means. I don't know how it can be any hotter than a lake of fire. And that's the end. That's the end of that. That judgment is the lake of fire. Verse 23, and thou Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, thou shalt be brought down to hell. Now who does this make you think of? This Capernaum, who does this city make you think of? Go with me if you would, Isaiah. Isaiah 14. Look at what the devil does. Lucifer. And it's the same situation. Verse 13, For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So here's Lucifer just saying this in his heart, right? And he's gonna, what does it say right here? It says verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Matthew, and thou Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. Right? Folks, we don't want to lift ourselves up above God. We don't even want to think about it in our hearts. Because if you exalt yourself, you're going to be abased. That's what the Bible says. If you humble yourselves, you'll be exalted. And John is a perfect example. He humbled himself. He said he wasn't even worthy to tie the shoes of Jesus, to loose his latchet of his shoes. Verse 23 here. And so, for if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Folks, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. What is he saying here? He's saying that he's saying you in this city, you people here, you Jews, are rejecting your Messiah, are worse, right? Are worse than those that were perverted in the city of Sodom, whom I burned with fire from heaven. what he's saying. Why? Because all they had is they had one guy preaching there. That's all he was preaching. And he was just as bad as the people in the city. That's all they had. One guy saying, get out. God's going to destroy the city. And Jesus is on earth raising the dead, doing all the mighty miracles that he did. And they're worse than those people that are perverted in that city because they rejected the message. And so we got to be careful, folks, when we hear messages from God, when we hear the preacher speaking, when we hear an evangelist speaking, and he's speaking to our hearts, we got to be careful not to reject those messages, right? Because, especially messages if there's any unsaved, because this is how Jesus looks at somebody that rejects his message. It's pretty interesting. Matthew 11. Verse 25, the Bible says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Folks, at this time, Jesus has been rejected by the common people. He's been accused of sin. He's been rejected by the cities where he's been performing all these miracles. And here Jesus shows all of us an example here. Huh? And the example is that, hey, even though Jesus left his throne, he left his throne in heaven, gave everything up, humbled himself and became a man, and lived on this earth the way we live, he got rejected by his own people time and time and time again from city to city to city, and rejected. Yet he wasn't discouraged, and we shouldn't be discouraged either, folks. When we're out there preaching on the streets or when we're witnessing to somebody and there's rejection after rejection after rejection after rejection, Jesus didn't complain, right? I'm sure he was heartbroken, but he didn't complain. And he didn't say, woe is me, or anything else, and feel any self-pity for himself. He was still thankful, right? And we should be thankful as well. He was thankful for the wisdom of his Father. And so God, folks, reveals his truths to those that will humble themselves and they won't exalt themselves. And how are babes? How are babes? Babies. They're needy, folks. They're not independent. They need their parents to take care of them. And we need God to take care of us. And when we have that mindset that, hey, we need God to take care of us, and maybe we'll start opening our hearts. Maybe we'll start opening our ears and start listening to his words. Babies are in need. Look in Isaiah 28. I don't know why I got this. I can't remember why I wrote that down. Isaiah 28. Verse 9. Yeah, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept, and precept for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And so that's how he does this, folks, little by little. Trust him enough to teach us a little bit, we receive it. A little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Reject it, well, then he's got to stop and kind of help you around that little subject that you're rejecting until you get that right, right? And so Jesus here, he trusts that the Father knows best. Even so, Father, for it has seemed good in thy sight, right? He knows best. Jesus knows that. And so we'll go ahead and stop right there. Actually, you know what? Let's go to 27. Too late? Okay, we'll go ahead and close. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your words, and thanks for allowing us to just to have any understanding of anything in there, Lord. You could easily blind us from any knowledge that you have, and yet you choose a way to do so, a way to teach us, Lord, and we just got to make sure, Lord, that we stay humble with you. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just help us to understand your words and a little bit better, that we would humble ourselves, Lord. And we're not asking for your help to humble us. No. But that we would just do that on our own. And Father, we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.